This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good morning, and every Monday at this time, we welcome from our own team, Lenny McAllister, who's our resident political analyst who wears many hats, one very important one in education, and who was a graduate of Central Catholic. And Lenny, I guess not a total shock to hear, since we knew that Pope Francis had been gravely ill at one point. They weren't sure he would make it. Spent 38 days in the hospital, but the last 3 weeks, including yesterday in St. Peter Square for the Easter services to greet people who are very excited to see him, passes this morning at 7:35 in the residence at the Vatican.
Yeah, and just the fact that he participated enough in Easter Mass yesterday. People did not expect that to be goodbye. They expected that almost as a sign of hope that the Holy Father would be with us a little bit longer. It just seems to be highly poetic that he would pass away around Easter after the fight that he had physically. But also, if you look at his legacy, one of humility, one of trying to expand the definition of love and trying to be a healer and a teacher, one with a sense of humor, a smile that people will remember. People will remember John Paul II as being the one that was there. He was the Polish Pope at a time where communism was falling. This Pope will be remembered as a gentle Pope with the smile and open arms. And in a world that needs more people like that, it's both very saddening to have him pass at this time, but also his life and his papal legacy serves as a reminder of what we can be during these times.
And ironically, the vice president had a chance to see him. He was sick enough where it might not have happened, but finally was able to greet the vice president and his wife. He is Catholic, J.D. Vance, by the way. So I'm sure that will leave a lasting memory for the vice president. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation of what transpired between the two. But as most religious people, you know, always seeking peace and trying to find solutions where there is hate, to replace that with love.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see two aspects of what goes on next, Larry. Number one, the American influence on Rome moving forward with all the policy upheaval that we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C. And number two, it will be very interesting to see the reaction of Washington, D.C. in regards to who the next pope is. People forget that electing a pope is still politics. It's not the person that prays the hardest and the best that ends up becoming pope.
You don't think?
People may think that. That is not how it works. A lot of it is politicking. A lot of it is being aware of what's going on in the world, and they're analyzing what does the church need and what does the church need to do to be a light for the world moving forward. So I think after we get through the funeral, it will be particularly interesting to see what the process looks like as far as the next pope, what names are thrown out there. We hear about Cardinal Timothy Dolan a lot. What would it mean in the world to have Donald Trump as president and an American pope? That's something that might be a very real consideration. And what would that mean for the rest of the world? How would the rest of the world react to that? Once we get past the funeral, Larry, I think that we have some very interesting developments that will come out of Vatican City.
Curious, Lenny, if you saw the movie Conclave.
I have not yet. My older son keeps telling me that I need to watch. I have not.
Oscar-nominated film. Now, I'm not going to reveal the ending, obviously, but it takes a peek into the process of how this goes when a pope dies, including taking of the ring of the fisherman
yes.
off the pope, destroying the mark so that it can't be used, you know, as a forgery for any reason. And there is a very detailed process that will take place. All the cardinals under the age of 80 will gather in the Sistine Chapel, and they will vote on a plain piece of paper with a name until they get two-thirds of that group to choose one man. And then the white smoke comes out.
Yep.
And it's taken as long as, I was reading the history, like 188 days. Not sure how long it'll take this time, but interesting process.
I remember as a kid both the sadness and the excitement for the election of John Paul II. After the shocking death of John Paul I, as you well know, Larry, there are times where a pope passes and we expect it. We kind of expected it with Francis. John Paul I, we did not expect. And so when you have these transition moments, in addition to the politics, you also have the anxiety of Catholics around the world and the anxiety as well in Vatican City in regards to who will this next leader be? What will they do from a secular standpoint with everything from what do we do with dogma and how do we evangelize the dogma of the Catholic faith all the way through to how do we continue to build this business when you have in some countries such as the United States, the population of Catholics shrinking. How do we build up this business where we can be self-sustaining and then still do the Lord's work?
That said, driving around yesterday, I saw all the churches, you know, not just Catholic churches, all the churches I saw were packed, the parking lots overflowing.
Yeah.
So people are going out and searching for spirituality. And this process, even if you're not Catholic or even if you're not Christian, is a fascinating process.
It is definitely one indeed.
All right, we're with Lenny McAllister. More to come on the Big K Morning Show. To Myra Rush from the newsroom joins us.
Yes.
Lenny McAllister and Larry Richard. You have That's a bonus great. Today with Lenny here.
I do. I like Mondays. I enjoy Mondays.
Thank you, ma'am.
You would be the one.
The one what?
That enjoys Mondays.
You kind of walked into that one, too.
I did. But I was just referring to Lenny being here on a Monday. Uh-huh. So if there's a Monday that Lenny is not here, then
It's just a Monday.
It's just back to just being a Monday.
Today is not just a Monday. I'm surprised to learn, getting up very early this morning, that Pope Francis had passed at the age 88.
Yes, correct. So I'm on air looking, and everything everyone is talking about is Pope Francis. As a Baptist now, I was baptized Catholic. So my brothers went to St. Lawrence O'Toole in Garfield. So we were baptized Catholic. So I'm kind of connected in a way still to the Catholic diocese and to hear something like this, and I don't know if you can hear it in my voice and my reports, it's like it's heartfelt, like to hear something like this, even though I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. It's just something that it takes you back and it makes you think about life in general. Sometimes things like this happen, put things in perspective for us. So I just took time out and just looked at some fun facts about the Pope that we should talk about.
Well, one is he was the first Pope born outside of Europe in more than a thousand years.
Yes, did you see that? That's remarkable. One thing that stuck out to that I liked is he cooks his own meals.
He used to drive his own car, which drove the people responsible for him crazy.
Yeah.
And he, at one point, went in to get a hotel room when he was named Pope, and they're like, they stunned the two people. There's a man and woman at the desk of the hotel, and they were like, this guy just became Pope. And he's carrying his own bags and everything.
The humility.
Yes, absolutely. In his youth, he enjoyed dancing the tango with a girlfriend before discovering a religious vocation. So he's into the
tango. It takes two to tango, but only one to be Pope.
He was also a trained, he trained as a chemist. He's trained as a chemist. That's interesting, right? He speaks three languages. What would you say?
Spanish, Italian, and
Spanish, Italian, and yeah.
I was asking Lenny.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
he knew I was going to get the answer to that, T. So he was just saving you time on your segment. That's all.
He had a lung removed as a teenager after an infection.
Didn't know about that. That became a complication over his later years. That was one of the concerns, especially when it became pneumonia.
Yeah. So, I mean, and look, in the overall, there's some things that you don't know. You know, we see the Pope, we hear the Pope, but there's things that we don't talk about or discuss. And it's in this day and age, these things are important. And I think that we should focus on living a life like the Pope.
Well, what I like about what you brought up is the fact that, once again, you remind us that the Pope, you have this huge title, you have all the history behind you. The Pope was still a human being.
Correct.
And there's a value in understanding that.
Exactly. In 2001, he washed the feet of 12 patients with AIDS at an Argentine hospice. So he stepped out of the boundaries of a lot. Some people would say what they wouldn't do or what you wouldn't expect for the Pope to do. And I think that's where we should be today. We should step outside our comfort zone and our boundaries and do some things that we normally wouldn't do. But in the face of life and what's happening now, I think we should take that step moving forward. And we don't focus on these things anymore. It's a sad day, but overall, to hear Bishop Zubik on with you, Larry, and having the discussion and talk about who he really is, it's meaningful. It really is. And one person on social media said, yesterday he greeted the crowds, today he greets the Creator.
Well, that's pretty powerful.
That is powerful.
You know, I think about my own life. My father passed away on Easter Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
It was April 24th, but it was Easter Sunday that year.
Right.
And I thought, oh, if you're going to go, that's a good day to go.
It is. It really is. But, I mean, we focus. We live, we love, we laugh, and we need more of that. We really and truly do. And it's sad. Like I said, it's sad. But overall, when you look at things and look at life where we are as a country today, we should look at what the Pope has done and move forward with the things that he's said and move forward in our lives to make this world a better place.
I think a lot of people appreciated his simplicity and stepping away from, you know, the
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The red shoes and the ceremonial things of popes in the past, and just try to be more of a pope of the people.
A pope of the people, and letting people know that your everyday faith can be plenty your everyday faith can be fulfilling and your everyday faith can make a difference.
Correct.
I think that's one of the messages of Francis, was the humility can make a difference, can fill the void where you see a void in your life, whether it's individually or collectively, and you can change things as a force for good if you just hold on to that. And that's what he did throughout his legacy as Pope.
Tamara Rush, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome, guys.
And more to come. We're also with Lenny McAllister. We've got more to discuss, Lenny. Another Signal app issue coming up. That, I mean, the happiest person in terms of coverage of something other than him is going to be Pete Hegseth today.
Indeed.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister in studio every Monday in our 8 o'clock hour. We're getting reaction to the passing of the Pope. We talked to Bishop David Zubik and other people's reaction here in the Pittsburgh area, and getting the messages from around the world. World leaders reaching out to express their condolences to the faithful who've followed the Pope. A simple man, Lenny, seemed that's the way he came across.
Yeah, but as Tamara said during her segment, an educated man, studying chemistry. People also forget that when you are the Pope, you are both a spiritual leader, but you're a secular example that's on this very historic pedestal. So you have to understand the inner workings of what's going on in different countries. You have to understand how different countries are interacting with each other, because when you visit those countries, you're not just coming into a church, you're coming into an environment. And then there are times you have an obligation to influence that environment one way or another. You know, people sometimes overlook simplicity and mean that to be simple, as in not understanding nuance, complexity, not being able to be strategic. That's not who Francis was. That's not who a pope needs to be. And the next pope, and I know I keep looking forward with this, but the next pope has a very interesting secular time to move into, and is going to have to try to figure out how to be a spiritual force in a time that has a lot of secular upheaval going on. And Francis did that well without seemingly being stressed or angry or turbulent. This next pope's going to have to pick up that mantle and move forward with that.
That said, otherwise, obviously, this is world news and breaking news this morning. You might be talking about the 129th running of the Boston Marathon. You might be talking about, on a much lighter side, the egg roll at the White House, which comes with the first ever sponsors, Meta being one of them. Money's supposed to go to the White House Historical Preservation Society.
Which seems oxymoronic with this administration, because it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of history they want to preserve, but we'll leave that alone on a Monday morning.
That said, a story about the Secretary of Defense has surfaced over the weekend, and with some details to start, CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
The White House did release a statement accusing the media of trying to spin the story, insisting that there was no classified information shared in these chats. They claim the sources have an axe to grind after being fired from the department. Still, there are new calls for Hegseth's resignation after yet another blow for the already embattled Secretary of Defense. Following Sunday's bombshell New York Times report, sources familiar now confirmed to CBS News that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth shared details, including flight schedules, of last month's airstrikes in Yemen in a second private Signal chat that included his wife, brother, and personal attorney.
So, story number one came and went, and now this popped up over the weekend. With a similar, I would imagine at this point, they're not using this app anymore.
Maybe.
How could they?
Well, they weren't supposed to use it before. One of the things that is missed in this story, even if you try to split hairs and say this wasn't classified information, there was a directive that was sent out previously saying when it comes to sensitive information, Do not use Signal. It's still hackable by the best hackers around the world. We will be compromised. So when you take that story into consideration, whether it was classified information or not, you have the Secretary of Defense, and let's not forget with the first story, you have other high-ranking officials contravening that directive. Now you take it one step further, and people that are not in the administration, they're not in the department, they're now privy to this highly sensitive information on an app that they weren't supposed to use in the first place. That's where the story and the question of judgment with the defense secretary comes into play, very much so at this point.
Well, they're saying, no, there was no sensitive information, no classified information. This is no big deal. It's you media people.
The bottom line is there was information that was shared in regards to where assets were and where soldiers were. And in the wrong hands, with the wrong timing, people can unnecessarily die. The objective of any type of defense strike is to disable our opponent as quickly as possible and preserve as much life, both American life and civilian life, as possible. When you compromise those plans in any way, shape, or form, you can contravene the best intentions of both of those. You can jeopardize American lives, but you can also jeopardize civilian life. And part of what we do as the nation that we are, we try to preserve life as best as we possibly can, especially innocent life.
Is there a chance he would step down? I'm thinking no, he's not going to step down. Would there be a change, or will he get his hand slapped and say, don't use Signal again?
I think we need to all just, I was joking with you during the commercial break, I think this is a time to put our ear to the ground and see if we can hear the bus warming up. Because if Donald Trump needs a scapegoat, I think he is a convenient one at this point in time. He can make the argument that, hey, I tried, it didn't work out. Even the people that will say, Mr. President, you're letting them push him out. He can always make the case of, listen, this is a guy that you all brought to me. He was loyal to me. He can find somebody else that's loyal to him to put into that spot. And he's not going to continue to be embarrassed. That's one thing Donald Trump does not like. He does not like having the mud on his shoes. He doesn't mind slinging the mud. But this is a point of time where the unforced errors by Hegseth are making the Trump administration look bad. This might be the point of time where he pushes them out.
We'll have some final thoughts coming up with Len.
Profondo dolore. Devo annunciare la morte del nostro Santo Padre Francesco.
That is the Vatican announcement of the death of Pope Francis at age 88, just hours after the pontiff gave his Easter blessing to thousands of worshipers in St. Peter's Square on Sunday.
And while it wasn't shocking necessarily because he had been in ill health, it looked like he was on the mend, and Lenny coming right after those services yesterday was a surprise this morning.
It definitely was, and it was poetic, but it was still a shock.
Bishop David Zubik shared his thoughts about the ministry of Francis earlier on the Big K Morning Show.
I think one word, mercy.
Mercy, and what a way to be remembered. And Paul, Lenny, we're going to talk to Cardinal Dan DiNardo right after the news at 9, who's a Pittsburgher. He's been the Archbishop and then Cardinal in the Houston area, but he's still young enough that I think he'll be one of those cardinals considered called to the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, for the conclave.
Select, yes.
Wow, okay.
So we'll ask him about that process.
And when's that coming up?
Right after the news at 9.
Okay. Stormy weather expected this afternoon in the Pittsburgh area.
I suspect the window of opportunities between 2 and 6, 2 and 7 o'clock.
Yeah, he said marginal. That is the voice of Joe Lundberg, our meteorologist at AccuWeather. Yeah, and I think he said, we buried the lead, though. It's going to be summer-like all week. I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Listen to these high readings for the rest of the week. Today, 76. Tomorrow, 69. Wednesday, 78. Thursday, 81. Friday, 77.
Wow.
June, July, right?
There we go. All right, Paul, thanks. And coming up, little tease about a show we're doing tomorrow and a show we're doing here in another couple of weeks before the big primary. The mayoral race is front and center. Cardinal Dan DiNardo, who's a Pittsburgh native and started St. John and Paul Church as the original pastor, will join us to talk about the passing of Pope Francis and what happens next, right after the news at 9 with Paul Rasmussen. Meanwhile, Lenny McAllister, glad you're here today and every Monday in studio. Tomorrow, I have Corey O'Connor on in our 8 o'clock hour. We've had Mayor Ed Gainey on in that same hour. In the interest of equal time and fairness, he'll have a chance to answer questions about why he wants to be the mayor. But got very contentious last week in a debate on television, Channel 11, I believe.
It is absolutely ramping up between the debate later on in the week last week. You had this very controversial, to some, mailer that went out, darkened image of a dilapidated building, and the bottom reads, "This is the Gainey legacy," or something along those lines. And there are people that are accusing the folks that originated the mailer of taking racist intent and trying to apply that to a black mayor. And so that's been out there now for 3 months. I mentioned that in January. I said it's coming, starting with MLK Day through Black History Month. And now all the worst of politics is there. And, you know, these are things that these two men are going to have to deal with and still talk to issues, which brings up why we're doing what we're doing in a couple of weeks.
Yes, on Thursday, May 8th at 9:30, we will have a mayoral debate live here on KDK Radio with incumbent Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and Democratic challenger in the primary, Corey O'Connor. And for all intents and purposes in this town, that primary decides the election.
Yes, and it will be a fascinating conversation. I started promoting it yesterday on my show, and then I know you and people that know you, Larry, need to know this. We're not here to food fight. We're not here to take sides. We're here to ask the questions that the people want asked. We're here to kind of reflect what people are thinking about this race and give these two guys a chance to answer some very hardcore questions about how they plan on leading the city of Pittsburgh over the next 4 years.
That's exactly right. We'll ask the questions. Some of those will be directly from our audience that we'll have prepared. We'll let the candidates answer, and then you decide. Lenny McAllister, always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
A bittersweet Monday.
Indeed.
But anxious to hear what Cardinal DiNardo has to say coming up. Thanks, Len.
God bless.